I'ma say what I feel, and I promise to keep it real.
Welcome to the Rant Room.
Well, you gotta be a rider till your fears are diminished and the doubts are behind ya. It's hard to grind and the business got me stressed. In the Rant Room, we let that shit up off our chest. You know the street nerd has got no time for no caca. Sass in class, yes, that's Mr. Bolakaja. Never have to guess when you're listening to Hilliard. He gon' bring more game than a shark playing billiards. It's all about the crap of screenwriting. It's exciting when you turn an outline into something enlightening. Your pen and words are like bullets in a gun. Write what you feel, say what you want.
Welcome to the Rant Room.
Yeah, what's up, y'all? It's your boy, Hilliard Guest, and you guys are listening to the Screenwriters Rant Room, where we keep it real, we keep it opinionated, we keep it what, everybody? 2,000, and am I by myself, damn it, today, or what?
No, I'm sorry. I'm sitting here. Okay, I've been busy all weekend, and there was a skirmish I missed with Geek Soul Brother, Linnell, your brother, about one of the episodes he was listening to when we were talking about Rogue One versus Empire debate, and yes, I totally missed it. I apologize. I missed out on it.
I don't know why you missed it. You were in the damn
feed. No, but I've been busy over the weekend. Like, I had a lot going on, so I haven't been on my Twitter.
You haven't been on Twitter?
Yes. Which is shy. I didn't even do Saturday Night Sci-Fi with Geek Sorbonne. Like, and they was doing One Punch Man, and you know I love that anime, so I'm behind, so I apologize. Sorry.
Anyway, on this show, we see 2017. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to be real basic for them today. Okay. How you like that?
Okay. You putting some stank on it. All right. Okay.
Y'all know how we did on the Rant Room. On this show, we discuss entertainment, TV, film, music, culture. But our focus is always screenwriting, stories, craft, and shit like that.
Yes.
See, hear her voice.
Yes.
Miss Lisa Volakaja.
Hey, I was only 10 minutes late getting here, which is good.
That was okay.
Hey.
Fine. I'm late.
Look,
a couple times.
Fam, I'm driving all the way from San Diego.
Were you in San Diego on the beach today?
Yes.
I thought you were at somebody's house on Huntington Beach or something.
No. I get up at 6. Look, my routine is this. 5:30, I get up and walk my dog. Hey, Ripley. She's really old now, so we got to walk carefully.
You can speak
and
well.
Comfortably.
I'm just waiting to jump in.
Okay. And so, you know, and then I do my go to the beach. I got my app that lets me know that good waves are coming in, and it's a Sunday, so hardly nobody out there at the beach. Mm-hmm. So I was able to get out with the boogie board and do my thing, but my leash on my board is acting up, so I'm gonna have to go get a redo on my leash. It's getting worn out, and I think it's time to get a new boogie board. I think it's really time to go back and just bring out the surfboard. It's sitting in my mama's garage. Every time I go, they're like, I should just get back on that bad boy. Yeah. The Black Gidget is coming back, y'all. But anyway, I'm here. I'm happy.
What's up?
Here's my thing real quick.
Yes.
Lisa's energy wasn't this amazing in person, I would suggest you just dial in from the car.
Damn.
The but I'm seeing what you guys are not able to feel.
Yeah, they need to be here. This is why we don't Skype and all of this. We don't like Skype. Getting it in.
And it's funny because people do, a lot of my friends who do their own podcast, they'll have people Skype in and do that. But to me, it's like, I like having the people in the room because then you can feel it and you're there.
You can high five if you want.
Yeah. I haven't been here for a minute because your brother filled in for me and you had some good people in there.
Yeah,
I was mad.
We were doing some good episodes,
I was mad. I'm like, bitch, how you gonna wait? How you gonna leave? I'm gonna leave. Look, y'all, I was in Florida at ICFA, the International Conference for the Fantastic of the Arts.
Yeah.
So basically all my writer friends, I was with Ted Chiang again. Hey, Ted.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, you know, that's my mentor. So, you know, if Ted's
What did
there,
he write?
He wrote the short story that became the movie Arrival.
Mm-hmm. She's showing up.
I'm not showing off. I'm just saying that's one of my mentors. That's my homie. Whenever we get together, unfortunately, we weren't able to have dinner or lunch with the crew like we normally do. Because it's like, you know, academics and sci-fi. And it's a chance for me to see all my writer friends from out of the country and just hang out. And one of the themes that we were talking about was resist in our writing and how we're dealing with politics and how that stuff's going to bubble out. So, and of course, I happened to like scroll down on the TL and I looked to see who the guests were. And I'm like, how y'all going to have people in the good folk? I won't see when I'm gone. So it's a conspiracy, y'all. That's all
I'm
saying. He waits till I'm late. Anyway, I'm glad to be here. It's been a minute.
Exactly. So y'all know how we do it on the Rant Room. If you guys are grown, let's go ahead and get it in.
I don't want to apologize. Y'all can't see it, but my hair is looking real raggedy right
now.
It
is looking a little suspect.
Look. When you surf, look. I didn't do anything to it. All I did was I went, got in, said hi to the homies, got a breakfast burrito, drove to mom's house, got in a shower, threw on some clothes, came up here, and then the whole time I'm sitting, I got the air conditioning. I'm like, oh, I hope my hair dries. It's going to start seawater and everything. I'm like, I ain't got time. But it's like, it's just fam, you know? And I'm like, it's Will. We don't care. He's fam. So
did you fall in the water?
Did I fall in the water?
In the water.
Do I don't fall.
So you're like that good of a surfer that you don't ever fall off the board?
I would not say that. I will say that I gracefully slide.
She dives.
I slide away. Let's just say I gracefully slide away. Uh-huh. But it's boogie board. I wasn't on the surfboard this week, yeah, but it was just
the
boogie
board.
You
just ride at the skim of the
water. Yeah, and then I tried to do my little tricks and things, but I didn't have my fins on, so it was like...
I've always wondered how difficult it is to keep your balance.
It takes practice.
All that.
It's core.
Shifting.
It's your, that's why their abs are all
the time. Yeah, it's core. That's the abs. But the best way to do it is do the paddle boarding. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get more into that now because I can't...
You do that in the ocean.
I do it. I'm doing it in Mission Bay. I don't like doing the ocean thing because we got sharks.
Don't you got sharks in the bay?
No, we got... No, the sharks not coming in the bay.
How far away are the sharks?
They're not that far. I mean, I've gone out there and I've seen them in the water where I've been out there like, well... Mm-mm. No, the key
is... How far
is,
away from you were they when you look, saw
I can
them?
See I can see it right there. Because oh, yeah. Usually they're hiding around the... Because we get pods of dolphins and you'll see the dolphins. And sometimes you get that little stutter like, oh, shit, it's a shark. And you're like, oh, God, it's just the dolphins. But every now and then, you're there.
Are your legs in the water?
Yes, they are.
You see the shark?
Yeah.
And how big are these sharks?
Well, luckily for me, they're not that... Well, they're enough where I can punch a motherfucker if they come up too close.
Like, I'll fight a shark.
Look, y'all need to know something about me and nature. I will fight. I will fight.
So, are they with their mama? Because if she's nearby...
Okay, look.
I'm not... They're breeding grounds. Usually, they're in La Jolla. They have, like, these little tiger sharks that breeding in La Jolla. And I go to La Jolla every now and then, but I like Mission Beach. That's my spot. But you'll see some sharks out there. The key thing is this... Don't trip. They really don't. No. They don't want you. They don't want you. It's the moment you start panicking and tripping. And also those people who wear those dark sweatsuits. Mm-hmm. They look
like
from underneath. They look like. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to wear shit like that. So I have no problem. The thing is, I have to tell myself they don't want me.
See, I was going to say.
They don't want me.
Lisa could start a new wave of black surfers. But in the same sentence.
Well, there's always
sharks.
No. There's
every,
always.
I just lost every single.
There are tons. There are tons of black surfers out there. Some really, really
there's,
great
there's
ones.
There's one or two of them.
You know,
out there.
But you know,
and actually, there's a lot of them. Right. Like in Hawaii, a lot of them.
Horror movie. They'll be the first one beaten, eaten, missing.
Well, I was in Belize. Nothing but brothers.
Yeah, surfing. And they surfing and doing their thing. Yeah. And
I was like, damn.
Yeah, it's like.
That's dope.
But of course,
that's an American myth.
It's a myth.
It's an American myth. No, they're. Belize. No,
they're Belizeans. Belizeans. They black folk.
So the Belizeans were actually out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Puerto Rico. You go
Puerto
to
Rico, so they doing it.
Just Dominican.
They doing it.
In the water.
The American brainwash.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you. Check this out. We went to Belize, and we're going to go snorkeling. And you got to go. You don't just get out in the water and snorkel. I mean, you can. Mm-hmm. They take you out fucking 5 miles out to the bare fucking reef.
Right.
Where it's like the biggest reef in the world. Where the fuck.
It's gorgeous.
And it's like 5 feet deep for miles. In the middle of the fucking ocean.
Of coral.
Yeah. Right?
And you can float.
And so we're on our way there, and I'm talking to the dude, right, the guy who's driving us, and he's going to, you know, show us where to go or whatever. And he says, you're going to get, and he's got that fucking Belizean accent, which sounds like Spanish and Caribbean at the same time.
It's dope sounding.
It's dope.
Yeah,
so they kept thinking I was one of them because I'm light-skinned too. So they was like, what? I was like, no, I'm American.
Yeah, because Belize used to be part of Honduras until they got their own little independence. So people don't realize there's some black folk everywhere.
So we're out on a boat and we're on our way there. And he says, you're going to go snorkeling? I was like, oh, no. I'm just going to watch. And he says, oh, no, you have to go. I said, black folks don't get in the water. Right. Like we always think. And he went,
you've been
what?
Brainwashed.
He turned the boat off in the middle of the ocean.
Did you throw the keys?
No. Hell no. Because I would have been.
I would have been fucking with you. Like, throw the fake. Get the fake keys. I would have had a whole drawer of fake keys. Just fuck with him. Throw the keys.
Exactly.
We ain't going nowhere.
I was about to say, he throws the keys. My man turns off the key. The engine goes down. Everybody's looking like, what the? Because it's not just us. Mm. He jumps off the boat into the water. For like what felt like 2 or 3 minutes. Because they can hold their breath forever.
Oh, he's underwater the whole time.
Underwater. He goes under the water. This motherfucker come up. We're like, what the fuck happened? He pops up with a fucking turtle. Climbs up. His boy helps him get up. His big ass. I mean, it must have been a 50-pound turtle. How the fuck did this dude lift the turtle? Lifted it onto the damn.
Y'all didn't eat the turtle, did you? Did he kill the turtle? Don't tell me.
Sets it down.
I don't want to hear you kill the turtle.
Says, black folks don't what? And I was like,
was it the turtle talking?
And I said,
what? Waiting for him in the spot.
Reynaldo,
so
the
he
turtle.
Says, when we get to the reef, I will guide you into the water. Did and he, I was like,
yeah.
I trust you. You know, he did, was showing did, me, did look what you can do if you knew how to do this.
Did he put the turtle back?
Yeah, he did.
Okay,
he did.
Thank God. Okay.
You know, he let everybody pet it for a minute and then he just kind of.
Yeah, I don't, you know, people have this myth because they see all those movies and it's like, white people did not invent surfing. I hate to break this off some of y'all out there. It just, that did not happen. But, you know, it's, you see it all the time. I used to go to St. Thomas all the time. I had friends that had a house there. So snorkeling is not good for me because I get comfortable and go to sleep.
Really?
Yes.
While you're snorkeling?
Yes. Because really? I'll be there because the water will hold you up and it's warm and so you're breathing
still,
and it's so still.
Where is this at?
St. Thomas. In St. Thomas.
The water is that relaxing.
Yes.
Go to sleep.
Listen, it's bath water.
And it's clear.
I got to get
over it. It's bath
water. You can see it all the way for fucking
like
hundreds of feet.
I would go out far and then I'd float. And that's the problem. I have to tell my friends, look, I'm notorious. I'll get out there and it'd be comfortable to fish. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's awesome.
You
and then I'll get comfortable
asleep.
And I will fall asleep because you're floating. So the snorkel is above the water, so you're breathing. And so I would say, look, y'all need to check on me every 15 minutes.
Are you serious?
Because I'm that comfortable. You know I'm a mermaid.
Yeah, yeah,
you know I'm a mermaid. I'm the original Little Mermaid. Like, if y'all don't watch me.
Can't even get in water without the little booties on and shit.
Look,
I can't do it.
Look, you can't. You gotta watch me because I will like. I will go. I'll be like
snoring.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
And be like, yeah, I think I better get back out. I'm notorious for that. I've been doing that since I was three. Anywho, we're glad to have y'all here.
Yeah, yeah. So we got my man on the show.
Yes.
William Derek from the writing directing team, the Derek Brothers. You guys have heard his brother Chris on many times, about, what, 12, 15 times now.
Talking shit. So, talking shit all the time.
Exactly, exactly. So we're like, well, damn it, let's get Will on. What's up, Will? Welcome to the show,
guys.
Brother.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
Yes. So here, we're going to get into this TV show.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because you have experience going through it.
Mm-hmm.
I have experience from witnessing it and going, Lord, I
it's
don't
a
know.
Movie. It's
yes,
a movie.
It's a movie. Mm-hmm. On Netflix. The name of that movie
is
Burning Sands.
Burning Sands.
The Burning Sands.
The Burning Sands. And I've been hearing a lot of stuff, a lot of people live tweeting it. I haven't watched it yet because, I don't know.
Have you seen the trailer?
I've seen the trailer.
Okay, good. At least you're familiar.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's because the situation, I'm not giving away the plot or anything like that, because I've heard stories and stuff, and because I've had a friend who's gone through that experience of pledging and doing all that stuff, like, I don't know, it's something about the pledging and haze, all that stuff makes me very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't the type, I never wanted to be in a sorority, because you know I'm an introvert and I hate people.
And you're a nerd.
And I'm a nerd. And it's like, I can only tolerate people. It's not that, I shouldn't say that. It's not that I hate people. I can only take them for so much, because I give off a lot of energy and people suck that energy out of me. And after a while, if they don't give that energy back, I'm so weak and mentally, I need to go and like
damn,
recharge.
Kryptonite,
right? Like, the kryptonite goes low. It's like,
energy
I need to go listen to some Wu-Tang or some, read a book and just recharge my life and think about what I'm doing. And so, I don't
baby,
know.
Baby, come on.
Guess who's home?
Get them indie people. Get some Medusa on. It'd be like, exactly. Medusa, just pimp your lyrics, sister. Pimp your lyrics. But it's I can't deal with that. Like, I admire people who can go through that. But I've seen and heard some shit that makes me very uncomfortable. So I think a part of me is kind of shy watching it right away because it's like, makes me uncomfortable.
So let me just ask you, Will. So what about this film made you want to come on and at least have a conversation about?
Yeah.
What can you talk about?
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, I'm a member of Omega Sci-Fi, and
what noise y'all make?
What noise?
What y'all say? See what? What y'all do? Y'all
be,
oh, maybe it's Omega.
Like, it's like.
Okay,
you just killed
my boy's Omega then because they were doing that stuff. Okay.
And so first of all,
that shit came from the diaphragm, didn't it? From the intestinal cords.
There are
shit,
some pit bulls outside waiting to talk to us right now.
And I'll pull out the bowl.
Okay.
So first of all, I would like to give props to the director because it's very difficult to get a movie made.
Yes.
And that in itself should be a salute to him.
Right.
Everybody in these organizations has their own experience, and you cannot question whether it's real or valid because that's how they saw it. Most people have wonderful experiences and they emerge with these amazing friendships and business contacts, and they go on to be such proud examples in community, and they help people, and that's what it's really for.
Yeah.
And it's always been that way. Lifting As We Climb, Empower Your Community, Be a Role Model, etc.
Right. Mm-hmm.
However, within anything you do, there's always that one or two people that don't have the best experience due to whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And by watching this guy's film, it was a little bit heavy-handed in how horrible things are.
Mm-hmm.
And it did...
It didn't show how much fun they would have, too, a lot.
Not,
you know,
it didn't... I mean, it's not an equal balance,
yeah,
but
mm-hmm.
there is a balance of fun while you are in your initiation process.
Mm-hmm.
And... So I cannot attack him for
sure.
any stylistic choices at all because that is not my experience.
Mm-hmm.
I was not there with him. But I will, you know what, I actually had the opportunity to work with Christian Robinson, mm-hmm. who is an actor in the film.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Played one of the bad dudes.
He was the most evil of the big brothers.
Yeah.
And his archetype is very much prevalent in the world that you'll see if you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's see now. It's a very delicate thing to discuss because if you're in it, you don't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in it...
There's a code, right?
There's a code.
Yeah.
And they're not doing... Well, yes, there's a code. It's like the military. Mm-hmm. It's like the mafia.
Right, right.
In terms of if that's what you're into...
Mm-hmm.
It's like Fight Club.
If, yeah.
if that's your thing, you don't talk about your family business in the streets. You
sure.
know? Whatever.
Sure.
But in the movie, I saw the absence of one major thing. If you're not black
mm-hmm.
and if you're not in this world, you might be questioning yourself, well, what's so good about it?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you be doing this? And why, why does this... membership mean anything at all to anybody at all? And perhaps he didn't have time to put that in there or it had to be removed in editing.
Mm-hmm. But it felt like there was a scene or two missing, something that set up why.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
And that might have been because of he ran out of time
mm-hmm.
or money started getting low. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to fault him on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say that I read a review by a non-black reviewer who, mm-hmm. of course, said they commented on the barbarism
mm-hmm.
and you're doing this just to be in a group of guys that why would you like them if they did those things to you? And the thing is that these fraternities are, and sororities, they are an attempt
mm-hmm.
to provide mentorship, to give you the guidance to maximize your opportunity in college, to get out and keep money recycled in your community, to build leaders, etc.
It's like we always say the Howard Mafia, the Harvard Mafia.
Look, listen.
What?
The Howard Mafia is real.
It's real.
I am frightened to talk about it in public, but I feel like I know enough people that if I was to disappear, y'all know exactly who to go to. We got names. Just follow my Twitter feed and my
exactly.
Facebook fam. You will find them all. I won't name them names. How y'all doing? Howard Mafia.
How y'all doing?
They know who they are.
So see, for you to make a movie that's that negative
mm-hmm.
in its depiction, because there actually hasn't been any movies about this yet.
Yeah.
They touched on it in Stomp the Yard, but Stomp the Yard, if you really watch it, is really a dance movie.
It's a dance movie. Even with Spike Lee's movie.
School Days. That movie is a movie taking place in that world, but mm-hmm. it's not about that world.
Right, right.
This was actually the first one ever, mm-hmm. and that's why I take off my hat to this guy, because I've been out here pushing similar projects for mm-hmm. years, and so when he gets there first, I'm like, well, I salute you, homie. Anyway, what I would have liked to see just for the rest of the audience's sake is, oh, I know why this is valuable.
Right.
I know why you would put yourself through this kind of focus detour
right.
in college. Because in my opinion, and this is not attacking this guy at all, but in my opinion, if you do not maximize your opportunity in college because you're partying and messing with the girls too much, when you get out of college mm-hmm. with that debt and you don't really have placement in the world,
mm-hmm.
you've actually wasted money and time.
Right.
And most people around you are 20 steps ahead of you now in the game of life. Mm-hmm. And that is actually what you'll blame, is your immaturity for those things.
Mm.
So this goes back to some people, they just fall into the right cliques. They're in the right major. They get their stuff right. And after college, they're in a wonderful place with mm-hmm. wonderful friends around them. And I applaud that. But for those that slip through those cracks, it can be a very haunting world, you know? I mean, I wrote my own script about this, and I'm not attacking anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just stating that when you're growing up, to add the extra layer of pressure, the extra weight of, I have to get into this organization mm-hmm. that is designed to make my life more difficult, then how much is that going to harm what I'm here for?
Mm-hmm.
But then years and years and years later, you understand that the hardships of the program
mm-hmm.
were actually there to make me stronger.
It's like, well, what, like you said, with the military, it's like they, because, you know,
they break you down.
They break you down and then build you back up.
Mm-hmm.
And for years when I was a kid, I just couldn't understand until I had, like, you know, my younger relatives that went into the military and mm-hmm. some friends, and they, you know, they broke it down. Like, that's mm-hmm. how it is. You build a team, and then those are people you can count on for life.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at it that way, I can see where, okay, yeah, you go through some stuff and you do this. Because, you know, I have friends who are sorority sisters, and I thought if I ever pledge anything, it'd be Delta. Because when I was at San Diego
State,
what
noise they make, what they do,
I don't know the noise they make.
Whoop.
I don't know what it is, but those sisters look cooler than the other ones because they looked like they was about their business and they was always inviting me, like, come do it.
I'm hair,
like,
was lit, wasn't it?
Hair was did.
Deltas are polished individuals of class. I will shout out to DST. Yes, I admire them very much. But.
And they were accepting of my locks. I used to wear the big bongo locks in college and run around with big hair. Mm-hmm. And they were just like, hey, sister, you know, they was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Them AKAs and they pink and green.
And,
them sisters.
My mom and my grandma and my
look,
aunt.
Look, they was the good ones.
But they're, you know.
They was the good ones.
It's all love.
It's all love. But it was like,
well, Tripp, it's funny. You were talking about how they break them down
and build them back up.
I was thinking about how, did you see that The Rock has a new show on HBO? Is it a show or is it a movie called The Rock in a Hard Place, where he goes into this prison, takes like the hardest 25, 30, whatever guys, and puts them through like a boot camp situation to break them down, to build them up so they can become men and get the fuck out of there.
Right.
It's dope.
Right.
It's dope.
Right.
And whoever makes it through, I think they can get out.
They can get out early.
Like,
Yeah.
Like a Navy SEAL kind of a
situation. Yeah. And they got to go through
kind
it.
Kind of restorative
funny.
Justice.
And they kind of showed like a slight arc in the commercial, and they show you like how people mm-hmm. started changing. You see the tears coming down. A lot of those people are just from broken homes.
Right.
And,
I was going to say that. See, because look at that, right? When you join these groups, some of the people come from a situation where they never really were loved.
Mm-hmm.
And this is your family.
Mm-hmm.
And the support and love that you do get in these groups is very special. It's difficult to explain, but... you know, like if you're a first-generation college student mm-hmm. or you didn't have a dad or you had an abusive situation right. or whatever, this is a place that you will feel empowered to be mm-hmm. the best you can be. So
right.
there's so much good about these groups that, unfortunately, the world was not taught in that film. Now, if you ever go overseas,
mm-hmm.
you'll meet people who... their only understanding of black people here is what they see in movies and music.
Right.
And by and large, it's negative images. So therefore,
yes, really? Yes.
So therefore, that's why I was a little bit anxious. Well, I was very anxious to come here to discuss this fraternity stuff because
right.
it's not only what he saw.
Right.
I mean, what he showed us that exists
mm.
not at all. Will I diminish any of his material?
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much historical relevance.
Right.
Like, example, Martin Luther King
right.
is an alpha. Jesse Jackson, Michael Jordan. So many people who have affected our culture are probably the way they are
mm-hmm.
because of the, if you will, training, if you will,
right.
from these groups, because... it just makes you tap into a certain level of your psyche where you say to yourself, I cannot be stopped.
Right. Mm. Right. And it's also a way for them, you're holding yourself accountable too, because you're representing something, especially when you look at Black history in this country. You know, when I look and I read books and they talk about it, a lot of the people who've done some like amazing things, they've come from sororities and fraternities. Yeah. And those are the main ones who become philanthropists. They go on to do amazing things. They're usually the ones that come out and put money up, make contacts. So there's a lot of positivity. And I think, like you said, a lot of times when we start noticing stuff, it's always the bad stuff that comes mm-hmm. out. So there is a lot of great stuff, because I've met a lot of amazing people. Mm-hmm. And it makes me now, when I look back, especially remember when Different World came on mm-hmm. and they started showing, I was like, damn it. And I was like, man, maybe I should have. Maybe. But I wasn't that type of family that's connected
that
way.
That's the show that made hella Black people want to go to college.
But go to specifically Black colleges. Right. Like that influx. And it had a huge impact. Mm-hmm. So it shows you how those narratives can impact positively. With this movie, we'll see. Is it getting a lot of positive reviews? I mean, I've seen a couple of them.
I haven't seen any of them.
Unfortunately, not been doing a lot of checking, mm-hmm. but in the beginning, like right after I saw it, it was receiving negative reviews only because mm-hmm. these people do not know of the good that is in the world.
Right.
And all they can see is, so wait a minute now, Black kids go to college mm-hmm. and they're doing this, and it's so much violence. So it's now I understand why they're so violent.
Mm-hmm.
Now I understand why they don't have good GPA because they're not going to class.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that false narrative is being spread.
But see, you, I don't mean to interrupt you. You just hit on something, because they show all the mentors who were all successful, like Steve Harris and the doctor guy and like all those other people. They showed all those other people who used to be in the fraternity, but they never showed why. Like, see, I'm the person you can become if you go through this thing. I made it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, because they never set up why our main character in particular,
mm-hmm.
why it's so important. Right. They already start, they're already there, they're already doing it. It's like, but why?
Mm. Well, see,
and
see,
even,
see.
You know.
That's, okay, good point. By the director deciding to show you that there are successful people out there mm-hmm. who are making an effort to look back and help their younger boys climb up
mm-hmm.
for like, you know, maybe I can get you a job at the hospital, you know. Mm-hmm. That lets you know that there was an attempt to show you that this is a group that if you get into, it's worth it for your future development.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm imagining a scene or two was cut.
Mm.
It had to be.
That would have shown you, that would have taught the pledges of these opportunities mm-hmm. that await if you're worthy to get through the groups.
Right.
And, you know, they do help you.
Mm-hmm.
In our industry, there's not that many of them, but in like D.C. and New York and Chicago, it's big over there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And especially down south, oh my God, down mm-hmm. south, it is a major family accomplishment mm-hmm. if you're in these groups larger than, let's say, for example, Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very special.
Didn't you say that some, what's the word they call when you are, like if your father was one and now you're...
What a legacy?
You're a legacy member, mm-hmm. yes.
Do you feel that there is some pressure on the young kids coming out of high school who are legacies, who should be doing it? Do you feel like they're being groomed, that like you need to be getting prepared for this whole thing? Or what do you think? I'm just asking a question. I don't know.
Very good question again. I think that, depending on how your father relationship is with you,
mm-hmm.
it's either you want to make him proud, or it's either he's a disciplinarian, like you better do this,
mm-hmm.
Or it's neither, and you've just seen that what he is, mm-hmm. and you learn that's a part of you, and you want to carry on that thing. But I know people whose dads are Kappas and they're Qs or Alphas.
That's the movie I want to see.
So yeah. I mean, it obviously means that dad raised a free thinker.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I trust that you'll make the right move for you style mindset.
Right.
Because my closest sans.
Now what is the sans? What's that?
Sans means the people that you were online with,
mm-hmm.
pledging with, that crossed the burning sands. That is the name
to get to
of
the next
the ceremony
mm.
of
oh, okay.
when you're done.
Okay.
And
so I missed that in the movie somehow, but okay. I don't think
that was in there because they never made it through in the movie. Mm-hmm. So the people that you go online with are basically your war buddies in the war. Mm-hmm. And so you have to get their back and they get yours and it's just all love. And then when it's out, if you were quote unquote made right, those are your best friends for life who will always be there for you.
Yeah, because you guys, for the time being going through the pledge, you guys have to be with each other 9 times, like almost 24 hours a day when you're not in class.
Exactly.
And if you're not seen together, that's a problem. Am I correct? Something that I don't know if you could say that or not, but according to the movie.
My experience was you tried not to be seen by anybody ever. You know, you got to be like a ninja.
Oh, interesting.
Around because if, yeah, I mean...
Okay.
You don't want to be seen. You're trying to, you know what I'm saying, be on some real bad boys moving silence type of thing on the yard. But to answer your question, what's your question again? But the sand.
Yeah. I was just trying to understand like the rules of, I was talking about how some of the guys were in the movie were seen like there was a scene where our main guy and the guy with the glasses were walking in the yard, and I don't know what group that another big group was coming through, and he wanted to see them do their stomp or whatever.
First of all, my experience, mm-hmm. you would never do that because you don't want to be in public. You don't want to be encroaching because that group might mm-hmm. possibly take it as an offense. Mm. And you just don't want to build the enemies, mm-hmm. right? In my opinion, just me here talking, I think there should only be one black male fraternity and then one for the women because...
Who's going to determine that, though, when everybody thinks they're alpha? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but see, I don't like the competition, mm-hmm. the division. We're better than you.
Right.
Because then that is an extra layer of infighting that divides us.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But anyway, too late to change that.
It is never too late to change.
But on the yard,
we can all become the Borg together.
But on the yard, when they were doing that step show, mm-hmm. that was basically their cotillion. We're introducing you to... Mm-hmm. community at large by an emotional thing. In our group, it mm-hmm. is called the Gold Boot Show. Hmm. Now, I think I have mine on videotape, but you come into this auditorium. It's packed full of everyone who's been watching you the entire semester, mm-hmm. and you sing these songs mm-hmm. that are like, they're like an homage to the brothers who are dead and your local chapter brothers mm-hmm. and those who spent that much time with you. And then you break off into like a little step show joined by the older members. And then at the end of the flawless step show, and if you're making any mistakes, you didn't want to make any mistakes. Mm-hmm. Then they pull out the gold spray paint and you're lined up in a line and they paint your boots gold while you're singing this song. That's cool. It is emotional.
Yeah.
I mean, because... It's basically like the baby is born right here in front of everybody.
It feels like to me it harkens back to those traditional African things when you have like what do we call it? I know the word. When you come into your adulthood,
yeah, like the manhood test.
Yeah, and your womanhood, and it's like it's a way these organizations when you were talking about it reminds me of. It's kind of like bringing back that old school. You know, presenting to the community, like, these are our young people who've become, they've come of age now.
Yeah.
And it's like a coming of age ceremony, like a traditional ceremony where you would get your cuts, where you would get your, and the elders are there, exactly. You're pouring libation. Yeah, you're pouring your libation for the ancestors.
It's so beautiful.
I love that.
At these things.
Yeah.
And you are such a respected member of your community the next day after this. And I think that if this movie... would have had the extra time,
right.
It would have shown us what the understanding of the of what lies ahead was.
Yeah,
in the
yeah we never right. saw what you happens know, after because right. we never saw them cross right. the sands, right?
Right, right.
They never made it.
Now, the lead actor, he did a great job.
I loved him.
He did a really good job because you really liked him early. Mm-hmm. And The messed up part was that his girlfriend, who knew he was online, gave him the them or me speech at the end. I was like, oh no! Because she grew up in black society. Mm-hmm. You would not do that. Mm-hmm. And if you would do that, you're truly messing his head up, and his head's already messed up.
Mm-hmm. But I thought it gave her, it gave him some, and I'm not familiar with it, so I'm looking at it from another point of view. But I thought it gave him some obstacles outside of just the group.
Major obstacles.
You know
That's
what I mean?
A great
and it
writer.
Helped.
Yeah.
It helped the viewer remind them that he loved her and was not willing to do anything to jeopardize that.
Well, see, here's the thing.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Good point. The guys in these groups, by and large, are like rock stars, okay? And what I mean by rock stars is this. You probably don't become a rock star because you want one girl. Rock stars.
Interesting, yeah.
Rock stars.
All of them.
Rock stars are performers.
Mm-hmm,
performers absorb the crowd. And in the crowd are ladies. So therefore, the reason I liked Zurich so much, that was his name, Zurich, is because he was really honest. And he did not want to be a misogynist and philanderer. He wanted one girl. And nothing about him, even the look in his eye, was a person that... that you couldn't trust. He was such a good actor. I mean, a good choice to play the role because he was so a good guy. Mm. Now, what I would have liked to have seen, which I have in my script, is that who you become after that company changes you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But that girl in that movie telling him she had to choose at that point was very important for him to show you that... No, I'm all in. I'm going to become.
That's what I'm saying. She was a good obstacle for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not going to give it away, but, you know, the moment where, you know, they all had to go in the bed with the girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
it was a choice there, and it showed what he was willing to risk or not, and that's what I thought was a big obstacle. And they made it funny into the way they did it. I thought it was cute.
Well, the reason that I love this moment of the movie is because that's exactly... what I would have done in that situation. Because I'd have been like, well, you know, I don't want to disrespect you. You know, I want you to, you know. And then, you know.
Wait,
I mean, you know.
Wait. Did you hear the subtext in that tone? Like, that line has been used so many times. Like, girl, I don't. It's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I don't really want to.
They would have laughed at me.
Okay. Yeah.
And the girl would have laughed at me. But he was this corrupted youth, and that's why I just loved him so much. And then the other guys around him, like the guy with the glasses and the guy that no one liked, they obviously were seeking the campus right to change, to be that.
Now the nerd guy had a reason.
Yes.
But I didn't feel like the lead dude had a real reason.
No. And see, that's the thing. If the lead dude would have said, well, I'm doing this because my mom and my dad and my uncle, then you'd have been like, well, okay, I can understand why you're doing something that's really not you.
Yeah, it's that tradition and that sense of having to uphold the tradition.
Yeah, you may become this later. But see, you kind of already knew he was a leader in his own right. So to not give him something of intrinsic value to get the thing, then it's like, well, you don't really need this. You already have the dope girlfriend.
Right. You don't have to go
but
through
see,
this rites of passage.
But see, that's what I thought was going to happen because I saw exactly what you saw. I thought he was the leader guy in the group eventually, specifically once he got him and the other guy really got along.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, now he's really the leader. He's like, where do you want to go? Where before it was like, we're going where I want to go.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And then so I kept thinking, well, he arced already.
Yes.
So he doesn't need this group anymore.
Right, and that's not what those groups want. They don't want to make you so you're not with them anymore.
Mm. Interesting.
You know, like if you're like if you're a manager and you locate some talent and you groom them for years and make them this thing.
Right.
You don't want them to leave you.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like all this work I done put in.
How many women
invested in?
Mm-hmm. How many women in the world can relate to locating the broke dude? Building him up, getting him a job, and then he's...
I have no experience with that. I don't know what that is.
And he gets a new girlfriend, and he gives her life the benefits of what his new life is that you build. That's not what they want. They want you to say, you know what? I'm so proud of my accomplishments that I want to represent this group in spreading the love out there. I want to go to the hospitals. I want to donate time, do the stuff with the orphans in the name of the frat because I'm so proud of my unit.
Right.
So when Zurich displayed traits of I'm my own man, I'm going to go my own way, then I just thought, well, he needs to be online a little bit longer so he can really... And see, I liked that he was looked up to by his line brothers because there's always a guy online who is just like the answer guy. Mm-hmm. And even though he doesn't always have them, he's just that composed because it's very hard to be composed in those situations.
Yeah, because he was always the one going, let's study. You know, we need to get these lines down. We need to memorize the stuff or whatever it was. So let me ask you one quick question before we start to wrap this up. So being that you already have a script in this world, for the kids, this is a show about writing. What do we do knowing that first of all, we encourage everybody to go see the movie. You know, we have some, you know, things that we were uncomfortable with or weren't sure about. But all in all, I recommend the movie. I actually thought it was pretty good.
On Netflix.
You know what I mean? To be honest.
It's a well-made
movie. It's a well-made movie. Great actors in it, you know?
I definitely think that you will find something to enjoy about the movie, and I'd like to hear any confusion you may have.
Sure.
And I would love to be contacted to fill in the blanks of what certain things might mean so so you can form a stronger appreciation for the film.
Sure. Okay. So... do you think there is a certain way that you need, if a writer out there wanted to write a film on specifically the black fraternities and sororities, are there elements in the script that they should have in the script for you? And are there things they should be careful putting in the script?
Mm. Okay. Well, I think that one, you must be a member of these organizations or you just will not do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't get the respect for doing it afterwards. But I think that if you have a specific point of view that you want to tell, for example, I met this young lady in Atlanta, wonderful writer, director, and actress named Charisse Chazi, okay? And she wrote a script about this world that just fascinated me. Here it is, okay, real quick. She wrote it about a woman online for a sorority, but she's a post-op transgender.
Really? Now that's a flip.
It's a dope setup, right? Now she's online already when you meet her. And she's excelling. She's outshining all the other pledges. She's becoming the favorite, right? Now, I don't know much about this, so forgive me, but when you do that kind of surgery, you get the upper half of your body done, and you have to wait a little while, and then you do the lower half.
It's like a year or something.
Right. You got to get your hormones and everything.
Because they want you to make sure you really want to do it before they do it. For sure.
So like the Adam's apple, the voice, the chest, the whatever's. Okay, cool. That's when she's online.
Okay.
So I suppose in the movie that her goal is to get that part done as soon as possible. But she gets caught by a line sister having male plumbing. Okay? So check it out. The sorority kicks her off. The school kicks her out.
Yeah.
And it's just how she's dealing with all of these things because no one would have ever known if that post-op surgery would have arrived. Okay? But there was a male love interest who is very mad that no one told him what he thought that they knew about this person. So anyway, it's not made yet. It's just a script.
Oh, I hope they got to get a transgender actress to do this.
Oh, no. It's a real story, and the real person is who they're doing it with.
Really? You know what? I'm watching it.
I want to help this woman.
I want to say.
I'm going to have her and you get in contact because she's a wonderfully awesome person. And
you read it?
I didn't read the script, but
she just told
you
the story.
Weekend with her, and she told me so many of her motivations and her knowledge of this person.
That's a different spin on it, though. I like that.
Yes. It's current. Right, right. It's current. It's current. Right.
So the reason I'm answering your question with her example is because she decided to go into that world. Mm-hmm. And she's a member of the Deltas, too.
Okay, that's important.
She went into that world with a very unique point of view, a story to tell that will, at the end of the day, increase our tolerance of different people mm-hmm. and okay. accept them. Mm-hmm. And perhaps add an extra layer of appreciation for mm-hmm. these sororities because they're trying to protect so much of their integrity mm-hmm. that any smears, they just don't want those.
Sure.
And so I cannot wait until you meet her. But yeah. Yes.
What I'm hearing, though, in essence, is the same thing we talk about with any script, is come in from a way we haven't seen before,
right.
or find a unique twist
right.
on it. You
right.
know what I mean? We were intrigued as soon as you brought in the fact that she's in transition. I went, ooh.
And she's already there.
Already in transition, I'm
she's
sorry.
Already yeah. yeah, she's already
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
And it's like, what do yeah. you do? And it's, yeah. wow, okay.
So look at this. If you think of The Crying Game
mm-hmm.
in a black sorority, that's the film. That's awesome. That's mm-hmm. going to work.
Cool.
That will be sold.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to, like, locate the money and call her up and say, Charisse!
Mm-hmm. Let's go make
I'm
this.
I'm producing your film.
Yes.
I would love to do that.
Yes.
For her, you know?
Yeah, it sounds like it could be a Sundance hit.
Oh, my God.
It's
so many.
Cool.
Like I said, and
well,
so,
thanks,
many,
Will.
So many good actors
so
can do that.
So, before we run out here, you want to get a little bit of Into the Badlands?
Listen. Shout out to the producers of Into the Badlands. Tonight, I'm trying to figure out, like, I'm excited. I want to know what Ryder is going to be wearing tonight, because you know the clothes the Barons be wearing,
mm-hmm.
they be coming out, like, look, fashionistas, for real, you know?
But, I'm trying to get LaToya Morgan on here.
I wish you would. Shit. But I love the show so much. Like, I was a big fan before everybody else was getting on the bandwagon, and I was trying to tell people last year, like, y'all need to get onto the bandwagon of Into the Badlands.
Mm-hmm.
If you loved old school, like, kung fu movies and karate movies and mixed up with, like, fantasy craziness and, like, just beautiful people mm-hmm. doing martial arts and kicking ass and kick-ass mm-hmm. women, this is a show for you.
Yeah.
Because when I first saw it, first of all, okay, I'm not going to lie. The only reason why I started watching it...
She goes into that voice.
It's because I found out that, number one, Daniel Wu was in it.
He's a producer on the show.
And he's a producer on the show. And it's like, you know what? I like him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah.
He can kick ass. He's good looking. He's going to bring something.
He's in it, too.
I was, yeah. And I okay. was... He's the lead.
Okay.
Yeah, okay
he's
okay.
Sonny. Hi, Sonny.
He's like, hey, what's up?
Hey, boo. No, but... this is why I love about the show, because let me show you how petty Into the Badlands is. Y'all so petty, and I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm.
They had their season two happened the weekend that Iron Fist dropped,
mm-hmm.
and they was on there tweeting,
dude.
Wait. The dude who plays Roddy, he's like, look, because I even said it like, y'all, look, don't waste your time on Iron Fist.
They was, everybody went in on
everybody
Iron
was
Fist,
like,
dude.
if you not even Iron Fist, come hang out with us.
Come see some real martial arts.
Oh. Because here's the thing, and some people were criticizing, like, I remember because me and Jeff get into this all the time, because this thing is, it's like, well, you know, isn't that a stereotype by having an Asian dude doing kung fu? Wouldn't Asian be upset? Bitch, no.
No.
Number one, they invented that shit.
That's
number
shit,
two,
yes.
And number two, it's only a stereotype if you only have them doing that one thing.
Correct.
And they're not a fully fleshed out
Correct.
Character.
He is fleshed
And
out.
look, well, oh God, yes,
Black
he is.
Girlfriend. Okay.
Listen, Blasian, love it. Sean had the baby.
Yes.
Look,
yes.
What have you ever seen? Two non-white folk,
mm-hmm.
two like different people of color mm-hmm. together. You'd never see that because usually it's either black people and white people.
Yep.
And it's like there are other interracial groups
Correct.
That are just black and white. And not only that,
mm-hmm.
but the Asian dude is the sexy dude.
Mm-hmm.
And you got that whole issue of, you know, Hollywood thinking that Asian men are not fine, which is ridiculous. Y'all ain't watching no movies overseas because, listen,
true.
They are bringing it.
It's true.
Hi, Korea. Hi, Woo Bin Kim and Lee Min Ho. Like, I got a list, bitch. I got a list. Listen. So, look, I be knowing, okay? But it's like, it has every, and the diversity in terms of just being inclusive in terms of the world they're building, like, every time I watch the episodes, you see every color of everybody. And they're at all the different levels. Like, it's not like the cogs are all like the black folk and all the colored folk and all the white folk. Like, everybody in every part of that society as a person of color. Not only that, but the sisters are letting their hair. Look, they got afros. Mm-hmm. They got twists. They got dark-skinned black women. Mm-hmm. They got brown-skinned black women. It's not just the light-skinned women and black women. That's the issue, too, because colorism is real. This show has so much. And I was worried with the first season because, you know, it's like, all right, well, they got like the plantation theme going on. And like, I don't know, I can roll with that. Like, it's only the white people, the barons, because y'all, dude, no, second, they must listen. They must have been listening to the criticisms because I remember I wrote about it in Bitch Flicks because Blazing Love. Well, Blazing Love last. Thank God, Sonny. Go get your woman. Go get Vale. Here's the thing. Season two. Oh, my God. They got two new barons they're going to introduce. They got Baron Hassan, who's a Chinese baron. And then they got the Chinese lady. Oh, what is her name? Baron. Anyway, hers is like the House of Foxes. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they have a name for each of their cliques. Mm-hmm. Then the master. Bitch, the master.
The master.
Ooh, is a black Asian.
Yes.
And a real black Asian. She's Chinese. Hey, Chipo Chung. How you doing? I'm just telling you, this show is no. This show. But here's the thing: I have to warn people.
You gotta watch season one, though.
I gotta watch this.
But listen here, they got the best martial art. Like the people who are teaching these people the martial arts, like they're not bullshitting. Like they're training. Listen. When that article came out about Iron Fist, and old boy said that he would get like he had a little bit of like a little training, and then he would get like 15 minutes before they started filming to do shit. And bitch, that shit showed on Iron. I still apologize. I only got through like the second half of episode 2, and I fell asleep. I was trying to be fair. I was trying to there, and it wasn't the wine, y'all. It was not the wine this time. I was trying to, and the story sucked, and I was like, not even talking about the whitewashing and all that kind of stuff or the white narrative, that kind of thing. It was just bad writing.
Yeah.
And I was like so embarrassed for them. I'm so embarrassed.
Well, you're a martial artist.
Mm-hmm.
When you have gone through all that you've gone through and you see a person who's just looking like they have not put in the training, it does kind of hurt just a little bit.
You can tell. It's a disrespect to the art.
Totally.
And they're not, I mean, if you go on, especially if you buy, like I buy the whole season when it comes out. If you go on Amazon, and if you're streaming it, they have like the free videos you can watch on how the making of it. Mm-hmm. And they have one that's like a short on the badass women. And then they have one on the training that they do. Like they are not, they're filming in Ireland now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not playing around with their martial arts. They're doing the old school wire. Like they got the masters handling that. And it shows. And it shows that they're taking the care to really create a world.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Fist doesn't have that.
True.
Like when you watch Into the Badlands, like their mythology, how they're being inclusive, how they're, the women, just the women characters alone are like amazing. Like the widow, bitch, come on.
Yes.
Did you see her when she, look, she had two of her little, cause you know, okay, they had the ninja stars. Hey, they have the ninja stars, but she had like the butterfly stars.
Yes.
And she took the one and she killed like six dudes in her stilettos, then walked over to the other baroness, like, give this, like she couldn't have said, I need to give this message to your man.
Uh-huh.
Let him know. She was like, let me kill everybody and look fabulous while I'm doing it, you know? And then it's just an amazing show. And it's, like I said, it's one of those fun shows. Like, don't expect no, like, you know, like fancy act. That's not the show. This show is like martial arts, fantasy, clothes, hair, gorgeous people of color. Mm-hmm. It's everything that I want in a show. And
so
they're doing well.
I'm telling you.
Now, some people, like, I had some of my friends say, like, well, this show is kind of cheesy. Like, they're doing all.
No.
But it's like, if you're not accustomed to watching a lot of Asian films that does that kind of, like, fantasy thing up to the, like, ninth degree, like, the like, it might not be for you. But if you grew up loving martial arts mixed with fantasy, women kicking ass and looking fabulous, people who look like you on screen.
Look at this. I'm going to come back. After watching this.
You got to watch the whole first season.
And we're going to share because that is so up my alley. And I do have a script in this world that I'll discuss with you when I come back. Okay. It's called The Jade Cobras. But
yes.
That's we'll cool. talk about this. I'm
you
excited
have
to hear your opinions and yours about that world.
Okay, cool.
I love that kind of stuff.
Well, do me a favor.
So bring it.
That's what's up. Well, great episode, y'all. Do me a favor. Give everybody your, where can they find you? Where you at?
You can find me at Instagram, William Derek III. That's with 3 I's at the end of that. And on Twitter, William Derek, DERRICK. And on Facebook, obviously, same name, no stage name.
Now, for your song at the end.
Okay, so.
Purpose for that.
What's it called? I wrote a song called Out With The Bruhs, and it's going to be featured at some positioning in the pilot that we've written, which is about the fraternity world, my own experiences, sure, which are their own unique places. So I wrote a song about a guy who is very enthusiastic about crossing. He's got all the energy in him from the whole life that he's living in this new skin. And it's called Out With The Bruhs, and here it goes right now.
Well, actually, I'm going to play it at the end. Where you at, Lisa?
You know I'm almost on Twitter. I'm a Twitter fiend. I haven't been for the last couple of days. I've been busy.
But
I haven't been checking the email. I've been busy. I got stuff going on.
Surfing?
Yeah, that too, to help a sister. But anyway, you can always find me on Twitter, especially on hanging out with Geek Soul Brother with the Saturday Night Sci-Fi tag. Pretty soon, Geek Soul Brother, we're going to have to do Saturday Night Sci-Fi with Train to Busan, since it's on Netflix.
Yes.
And
Let me know when you do that one.
Okay, yeah. Oh, you're going to join us?
I saw it a year ago,
and I remember I came back raving, yeah. And then somehow Geek Soul Brother found like a bootleg on YouTube somewhere.
Oh, really?
I don't bullshit people. But I say, if something's good, mm-hmm, I'll give you reasons why it might be cheesy, mm-hmm, and stuff like that, but I'm told him, like, if you're a zombie fiend,
yes,
and you like Korean horror and you want to watch the movie where it's like, oh my god, zombies on a train, it's like Snowpiercer, yes, with zombies,
yes,
that's the movie for you. Exactly. And sure enough, like, people loved it. So now Netflix finally dropped it like a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm, so we want to do, I'm hoping next week we can do a live tweet. But you can always find me on BitchFlix, but more often than not, I'm always on Twitter. That's with shenanigans.
Lisa, would you give the audience like three movies to watch that are in that Korean or just the Asian world?
Open up the door
of,
now.
Of just like super quick, though, cool quick movies. Like,
does it matter the genre?
I mean, martial artsy.
Horror.
Okay, the one you need to see, I told y'all about this last year. Y'all need to go see The Handmaiden.
Okay.
The Handmaiden, okay.
Lots of sex with ladies, uh-huh, and tentacles.
You're going to love that one. Okay.
And yeah. I loved it. It should have been South Korea. I don't know what you was doing. Y'all was fucking around. Y'all should have put that up for the Academy Award. The one they did pick was awesome, but y'all should have did The Handmaiden. It was amazing.
Okay, that's one.
Of course, Train to Busan. Mm-hmm. What?
Okay.
No, take that back. That's the genre one. You need to see Inside Men. If Korea would let that come out and stream. I finally saw the last 10 minutes on the airplane. But I would say, just for love, Handmaiden, Train to Busan, Inside Men, and basically... Oh, there is one of my favorites that people don't like it, but I love it. It's on Netflix. It's called For the Emperor.
Okay.
Only because I love the two lead actors. I'm big fans of both of them. And it's got all the shit I love, which is basically blood, guts, gangsters, mm-hmm, Korean dudes, and fantasy. Because you know I have this thing for suits. Eyes and eyebrows.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And suits. Like, if you got some good eyes and eyebrows and you're wearing a good suit, mm-hmm, I'm a fan. For life. Right. All right? God. But it's like, oh, my God. So there's a whole bunch of Korean films, but right now, those are like my top three that I highly recommend for folks.
That's what's up.
Thank you very much. I want to get on your level so we can talk more next time.
That's what's up. And I am your host, Hilliard Guest. You guys can find me on Twitter.
Yeah.
At Hilliard Guest. Yep. Follow the show. ScreenwritersRR on Twitter. This is not talkback,
man. I'm just messing with you.
You guys can find me on Instagram at Hilliard Guest. I never promote that.
You're on the gram.
ScreenwritersRantRoom@gmail.com. If you have any questions, follow us on Facebook. And God, I'm doing so much these days.
Shout out to the homies down in Mission Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Holding it down for the surfers of color down there. I will see y'all next weekend.
That's what's up.
All right.
New leash. Quick.
Hurry up.
To your friend, Jay Moore.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
I met him at your reading, mm-hmm, and we vibed. He's a cool cat.
Jay is
and
cool. Lisa, he gonna do the show. He was gonna do it today, but he had something to do.
A word?
Oh, Jay. Yeah.
Lisa
Hi, Jay.
Was this amazing Hi, narrator of the script. You should actually get her
it.
To do
she killed it.
Voiceover.
She killed it.
You know, for your movie, but
we're talking about major adding
voice.
Something. We'll see.
Major voice.
That's what's up.
It's just me just talking, y'all. It ain't nothing.
Everybody join me for 2017, y'all. Mm-hmm. And don't forget to check out Will's song. What's it called again?
Out with the bruhs. I'm out with the bruhs.
Y'all know how we do it on the show. We keep it real. We keep it opinionated. We keep it what, everybody?
2017.
Peace, y'all.
Ciao, people.
Only describe us as soldiers, survivors. Only describe us.
us as soldiers, survivors. Soldiers, survivors, soldiers, survivors. Out of the night that covers me, all up in the spot where the brothers be. Pour out some oil, rejoice like Mahalia. Roll up in the party wearing too much nail, yeah. I'm the baddest, bet status, on the set. Been through battles and broke paddles, the quest for mine. And the flesh on my chest is blessed with the best design. Online, dark captain and my nine shine. Stay pressed for time. Pimpin' the yard, you might have seen my squad. We was dressed for crime. From a room full of lamps to the step show champs. I'm amped cause I crossed the burning sands. I throw up the hooks cause I earn my brands. I'm the rock stone cold, bringing the heat. DB's teaching me the agony of defeat. 2 weeks without sleeping, now I'm slinging the meat. Two freaks to meet, we had a fling in the Jeep. It's the Q scandal. See me on a sci-fi channel at the dance with gold boots, collars, and camouflage pants. Peace to my tail on road trips. Cause every single city he loads clips and be out with the bras and deltas. More than a few AKA filters. I'm a legacy.
If I don't come home, I'm out with the bras. Out with the bras. I'm out with the bras. If I smell like liquor, I'm out with the bras. Out with the bras. I'm out with the bras. If I set out a hop, I'm out with the bras. Out with the bras. I'm out with the bras. If I go to the green, I'm out with the bras. Out with the bras. I'm out with the bras.
Yeah. Catching up with me at a Buddha spot. Who'd have thought?